Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know what? I mean, to talk about something that I actually bring up in a lot of meetings, to most people's like confusion, I always talk about this movie. Okay. And I'm like, and they're always like, I feel like they try to like ignore me, or like they try to pretend that they didn't hear me mention it. But I'm like, I love the way that Charlie's Angels, they filmed it. I love the way, like the music, I love the colors. Mm-hmm. And you know, it came out when I was like, how old was I? Like 9 or something. And okay. For me, I feel like I really was into this idea. Like I really love the Spice Girls. I love like each different girl is a bit different and they have their own specific traits and that's like their power and it's so fun. And I can talk about this movie forever. And I literally just put it on, and like, it's a weird movie to watch in the morning, I have to say, but I've maybe watched it like millions of times. And also, when I was younger, I loved the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It was like in my mom's car all the time. Independent Women.
The classic. Amazing. The classic.
Welcome back to Open Form. I'm Michael Denzel Smith. Natalie, Dylan, and Alex are private investigators who work for a mysterious millionaire named Charlie, whom they only ever communicate with over speakerphone while in his office with his assistant, Bosley. The key to their success is not only their intelligence and toughness, but using men's sexual attraction to and underestimation of them as an advantage. When software entrepreneur Eric Knox goes missing and his firm comes to Natalie, Dylan, and Alex for help, they need every one of those tools in their possession to uncover the web of lies and covert missions afoot to save themselves and their beloved Charlie. This week's film is Charlie's Angels, the Y2K version, and it was chosen by Marlo Granados, author of the novel Happy Hour.
It's crazy that, isn't it crazy that that's a song that they made for a movie? They just don't do that anymore. Like big hits like that.
I mourn that really and truly. Like the era of the soundtrack or the big like song that comes from the, like that's created by like a big name artist for a film. Like it just does, like, I think the last one was probably like Kendrick Lamar doing the Black Panther soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And like that's like, it, what else is there?
I don't know. I mean, they really tried it with like the remake of Charlie's Angels with Kristen Stewart. And I was like, weird yeah. soundtrack. That weird, it was an Ariana Grande with like Lana Del Rey song. Mm. I don't think it charted.
Yeah, man, bring back the effort in soundtracks and movie soundtracks. When you said Charlie's Angels, I was like, yeah, of course I've seen Charlie's Angels. It's just been a while. And then I sat down to watch it and I was like, oh, I've ever actually seen Charlie's Angels all the way through. I think I had watched in the past, like probably up to the Cameron Diaz underwear dancing scene. And like after that, I didn't recognize any of this movie.
It's you feel like you would recognize it, right?
It's so huge, right? Like it felt like I was 12 when it came out. Mm-hmm. And like Independent Women, again, something that's always stuck with me. It's like, yeah, Charlie's Angels. And I feel like I've seen Full Throttle in part. Mm-hmm. I probably saw that because Bernie Mac was in it. And like that, like and I have to check now. Like I need to go watch Full Throttle to make sure that I'm remembering correctly that I have seen that movie. But this one I had not seen all the way through. And it was like when you said the Spice Girls thing, I was like, oh, now I get this movie. Like I get it now. Like I not that I didn't understand, like it's an action movie, it's a remake or a reboot remake of the Charlie's Angels television series, like all of that I get. But what you were saying about like, okay, here are the distinct personalities of these different women that all come together and then they do a thing and they're powerful. And like, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like this is tracking now. Like, I understand that.
No, totally. I mean, I guess I feel like there were a lot of films that came out around that time that you kind of like would leave and where you were like, a pep in my step a little bit. Like, and this was one of those movies. And I, you know what? I feel like in particular, what I love about this, it just feels like a real like feminine action movie, which I feel like is really hard to do. Huh. And I feel like the way that they've done it recently is so, I feel like they try to do like that kind of grittiness that they do for like, I don't know, like that Matt Damon action movie.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're even called. But you know, it's like this one for me, I was like, oh, these girls have like goofy ditzy sides, but they're also like powerhouses and they kind of get silly about boys. And it's like this whole thing that I feel like is really, it's kind of like what I feel. Actually, you know what? I actually feel about that kind of a little bit with like that Kaylee Cuoco series Flight Attendant right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I always explain that show to my friends who were like, I don't know if I'm going to watch it. I was like, just imagine if it was someone like me who accidentally got involved in international murder. Like, this is like the prompt that I give my friends to watch that. And so this, I feel like it has that kind of vibe where it's like, oh, these girls, like they have like relationship problems. They're kind of, they like to go dancing, like, and they are trying to just balancing it all. And that I also think it's like such a fun watch, despite, you know, the slightly more unsavory bits that are like very questionable of the time for sure. The racial bits that split second or Drew Barrymore is in brown face, you're like, wait, is she just, what is that?
Yeah,
super weird. Yeah. But you know, of the time, and I'm sure like in comparison to like lots of things like American Pie and like a lot of these like those films from that era, it's like, you know, that was just like such a move. And also to like, I think, try to like fit in with the humor. I'm so interested that like, so what did you think of what were your like initial thoughts and like your favorite bit?
I think I'm appreciating it differently now, talking to you.
Now that we're talking.
Like you're like, oh, it's a feminine action film. And I'm like, oh, okay, yes. Because it's like, you know, recently I feel like there's been an attempt to be like, okay, we can have women be action stars and they can just do what the men have been doing. Like a Charlize Theron or Scarlett Johansson comes in and like does an action film and like just sort of adopts exactly the sort of masculine posture of Matt Damon or whatever, like, you know, Bruce Willis from the past and Arnold, whatever. And like, but you're saying that how they're experiencing is like, no, they're firmly in their femininity and all of the things that come along with sort of a girlishness. Mm-hmm. And then still doing all the action stuff and like incorporating that stuff in the story. And like, I think my reaction was like, at first it was like, are they aware that they're doing bits, right? Like that was the feeling. Cause it's sort of, there's a lot of the same bit where it's like, we're sexy. And then we like are duping these men who seem to have never talked to an attractive woman ever in their lives. And then we do our spy action bit. And I was like, okay, yeah. But I think and you talking about it, I'm appreciating that differently now that it's like, okay, but what would it look like if you were to embrace all of the things that have been diminished about femininity and you've been like derogatory in many ways and to embrace those parts and then to incorporate that into the action film. So you're giving me a different appreciation for it.
I love that. I mean, I'm really into like, obviously I've written about like bimbos and things like that. So for me, like the trope of like dumb blonde and the dits and stuff is like always kind of tongue in cheek. And I think that that's kind of part of like a it's like a winking at the audience. And it's also winking at like oh, like, yeah, like, exactly. Like, I can dupe these guys and they're so silly, but like, also it's not that hard. Like, and the, you know, what also like one of the things that I always think about in, when I'm referencing this film, in terms of what I actually think that people don't really do anymore is that it feels that it exists in its own universe, not so different from us, but like different enough that the aesthetics are like so specific of like the costuming of the set design. Like, why is that like glass house that Sam Rockwell lives in like so fancy and like kind of looks like a spaceship? Like,
yeah,
it's kind of like crossing like 90s fashion with like 70s and obviously because of Charlie's Angels, the original. So that's like really special to me. And it does that like really high grade saturation that we just don't see anymore, where it's like now it's like either we do like this yellow scale or gray scale. It's like this weird one color.
Everything color looks the same. Yeah. Everything looks exactly the same. No one knows how to use lights anymore. Like, there's just
so weird.
It felt like the year 2000. It's totally, it just felt like here's Cameron Diaz in her like very low rise, like bootcut jeans, like it's lots of midriff. It's like, it felt very 2000, and like that, there's a nostalgia element of that for me. And it's like, I was on the brink of becoming a teenager and sort of discovering the world. Like, I've been recently watching Real World Homecoming for the New Orleans season. And it's like, that's from also from the year 2000. And it's like,
God.
Everything that is like, it is this turn of this, like, it's all of that sort of fear that we had from Y2K, and then it's like a relief. And so it's like, let's just have fun in this very brief moment before 9/11, right? Like,
totally.
Like 2000 to like just before 9/11, everything's sort of fun and big in a way that like, I don't know that we really, like, there's no seriousness to any of this. And I think that that's really probably something that threw off a lot of the reviewers at the time, of just being like, what is this? What are we doing here?
It's what,
like,
are we watching?
We're having fun because we thought the world was going to end, and now we get to live a new day. Like, let's just have some fun with this thing.
Yeah. And I also feel like I did peruse some of like those reviews, and even I saw some stuff like even from like recently when people were like, oh, like, we got to talk about how this is like filmed for the male gaze. I'm like, okay, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess it's like, I mean, in some ways it is, but it's also like I don't know. I think that sometimes you're allowed to be like kind of like sexy and like your little outfit and like not have to be so, you know, there's other ways, like more in an obvious overt way to be filming for the male gaze. Like, you know, when they used to do when they used to film what's her name, oh my god, what was that girl's name? She was like a Sports Illustrated girl, Kate Upton. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when they used to film Kate Upton, and you're like, this is so slimy feeling. But like, I think with Charlie's Angels, like the way that they film it is kind of like glossy, kind of like 17 magazine spread or something. You know what I mean? It's like fun. It's really like, I feel like also, you know, it's one of those things where it's like my initial, like my kind of overall feel about this film, what I think is actually different than, let's say, like when they're doing like those, like the Scarlett Johansson like films or like Tomb Raider or whatever, when like they're in those like very like video game style like outfits.
Yeah.
And this, like, you know, like with these proportions that like make no sense in terms of like actually what they're based on. I think that like this is very much like, I feel like it's like, no matter who you're kind of who's watching, I feel like you're like watching it being like, I kind of wish I could have this much fun. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think it's less about desirability and more like, I kind of wish I could be one of these girls. And that's kind of like, I think that doesn't really matter like what gender you are too. Like, I feel kind of like, you're like, I feel like even if you're a guy watching it, you're like, like, aren't, like, it makes you a little curious to be like, what would it be like to have like two girlfriends that I would like do this like stuff with, and we all had our specific expertise, and it was also like there for each other, and it was so fun. I don't know, it's like it kind of feels like how I would imagine a really cool like my idea of like what a cool slumber party would have been like when I was like young. And I'd be like, oh, when I'm older, I can have like these girlfriends and we're gonna be like so smart and like so accomplished in a way. And that's kind of like, I feel like also from that time, because a year later, like Legally Blonde came out, and again, another film when you're like leaving that theater and you're like, I showed them like, and yeah, so I don't know. I obviously understand like people's kind of like reading these films like in bad faith, but like I think there's also something to be said for the other side of the coin where it's like, they are so fun and so glossy. And we just like, don't really make films like this anymore. I don't think that there would be a kind of another instance where like a studio would like put big money towards like something that like looks and feels like this. Because, you know, I was so disappointed when I watched like the remake, because again, it was so gray looking. And also like none of those girls had real star quality, like real charisma, real like, oh, like I really like want to be friends with these girls. It's not really, I don't know. Yeah. I can't imagine like there's something like comparable that's come out in recent years.
I can't think of anything. And I mean, I'd be hard pressed. And I think it's interesting what you're saying in sort of like a reading of the film in which it's like, it's made for the male gaze. And I feel like I'm totally on board with exactly what you're saying, but I feel like that, like, if you are coming to it with that, like, in mind, right? Like, you are a hetero man, so like coming to him, just like, oh, these three are just hot and I just want to watch them be hot. Like, you walk away from it being like, oh, they all think I'm silly, right? Like, because like that's their relationship to almost every man. And like, with the exception of like Boswell and Charlie, like there's no room. I mean, you know, Cameron Diaz eventually has her love interest in Luke Wilson. Who's just like a sort of sweet dummy.
It's giving himbo,
right. But every other man is just played for a fool, right? Like, like even a man like Tim Curry, sort of, look, living a dream, having Lucy Liu's feet on his face, right? Yeah. but he's used in, like, in that moment. Like, he's not, he doesn't have any power. Every instance, they're using that sexuality to take power away from the men in their orbit. And so if you're like, if the male gaze is there, or if it's being like projected toward the male gaze, it is subverting it and then saying to you like that your gaze actually doesn't matter to me. I'm only using this for what power I can gain from it.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess that's the whole point of like why, as the girls, as like, even like as like a PI agency, like why they have such a niche success, like in terms of like why they can, because men always underestimate women. So it's like, that's how they like get into the places. That's how they can like play like servers or like masseuses and all these things. And I think that that's kind of like, cause they're so unassuming, like no one like thinks that they're threatening. Right. So I think that's the kind of joke as well. And, you know, it's funny because, like, I've watched, like, the original, like, Charlie's Angel show. And, you know, again, like, you have, like, these women, especially in a weird time in, like, the 70s, like, but weird time for women in media. And, like, I think that that was, like, it was such a fun and career-making show that also I think that did kind of the same thing for these actresses, too. That is like, you know, what I love about like a franchise, because even like Bond and stuff, like why haven't we like really done the same thing for Charlie's Angels that we did for Bond? Like, I'd love to know. But, you know, I guess I also have like some reservations about like when people try to make these kinds of films, because, you know, when they did the women version of Ocean's Ocean's 11.
Like Ocean's 8. Yeah.
Oh my God. One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
You don't like it.
No. Oh my God. You know what? Because I love Ocean's 11. I'm a real fan of like also like Rat Pack, original Rat Pack. I grew up watching that. Like I grew up a lot. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. So I was watching, you know, like TCM. Yeah. And I think that what people misunderstand about like women is that like there's the kind of equal sensation or effect of like being suave is not necessarily like, I think what the mistake was in Ocean's 8 was that they were like, oh, they're materialistic. They're gonna take like gems. And they had that weird, like, they had a weird like montage that felt very Bling Ring when it was like cash, money, like, you know, like they were like flashing like Louboutins and like these kinds of like shoes. And that kind of was like so disappointing to me because like Ocean's 11 is such a stylish franchise that is less about, it's less about like, you know, like money or material gain in a way. Like I think that a lot of it is about like the underdog and like, and trying to get away with something, right? Like a lot of these, like the whole thing about like those men is because like it's not like they like need the money, it's because they like love the caper, they love to like be getting away with stuff, and that's kind of what I think is like missing from a lot of these films now, is that there's like a lack of like that true mischief that I think exists in Charlie's Angels, exists in Ocean's 11, like yeah, even in the Soderbergh version. You know, and that's important to me. I love a little bit of mischief. I think that's like, I think that's a defining trait.
Mischief is great.
Yeah, a defining trait in terms of like what I write and also like me as a person. I think that they're always having like the, you know, like a wink hiding or like, you know, like, you know, your fingers crossed behind your back. Like that's kind of like the joke is like often for a very specific audience, and you have to kind of be in on the joke to really get the whole thing.
Awesome. Okay. I mean, I think I still like Ocean's 8. I will concede that, but I think I'm just going to be charmed by Cate Blanchett no matter what. It's just going to be what it is.
Yeah.
But I will concede that point and concede also, yes, there's mischief within Charlie's Angels that is like, with all of the sort of like, you know, focus on the fact of their sexiness, like that mischief and that sense of play is also there that like helps to propel the film. And yeah.
And great looks, great wigs, great looks. Yes. We have stunning disguises where they just change hair color. Amazing.
With the exception of the opening scene where her disguise is LL Cool J.
What a crazy opening to a film. Like, I actually remember that part specifically when I watched it in theater with my mom. I was like, what? so confused. And then they're on the speedboat and it's like, what's going on here? Incredible. And also, you know what, I think what I also loved about that beginning is because of the airline looked so like retro. And it's like we just like don't make airplanes like this anymore. We don't have like this kind of it's like this cross between like the 70s aesthetic and like 70s like architecture or whatever, and all these things. It's really cool to me. Full Throttle though, I really hope you revisit, because it's a little bit more of the world than this one. This one was a little bit like more fantasy, I think.
Okay.
And Full Throttle's more like, well, I say that now, but then it might be like totally haywire when you watch it. Cause for me, I was like, this is a little bit more gritty or something. Cause like Justin Theroux's in it.
Well, that. No, I haven't seen this movie. Like Justin Theroux's in it. But that, I mean, like going back, it's like, okay, Charlie's Angels is 2000. 2003 is Full Throttle, it's like everything had to get serious after 9/11. Yeah. Like, but it is a big turning point for like everything in culture, where it's just like, we have to respond to this and like make people feel the severity and gravity of the moment, right? And it's like, well, there's no more fun, right? Like, and it feels like we haven't had a lot of fun for the past 20 something years because of this.
And it was kind of like this, I think they started doing like action scenes a bit differently. Like they were like trying to like really push like maybe like whatever like computer stuff was happening. Again, not technical kind of person, but like what I like about the 2000 version is that like it's very just like we're on the wires. We're just like flying around on the wires. And I think the Full Throttle, I'm pretty sure there was like, you know, like the slow motion bullets and like being like, like flying through the air.
All the Matrix stuff.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, I think that that's kind of like a definite, yeah, I don't know. I think that they were also Demi Moore's in it. And all of a sudden there was like this like, older woman adversary and like bad woman, and then like, but you know, enjoy. I'm like, you know, I'm kind of jealous. I wish that I could also watch these things for the first time.
Absolutely. Marlo, what's one lasting image that sticks with you from Charlie's Angels?
A lasting image, I would say, there's a few for sure. I think that the racetrack scene, I remember watching Drew Barrymore in that blonde wig licking the the steering wheel was like so insane to me as a child. I was like, whoa, what is she up to? This is too much sensory overload. And I think also I do like the at the beginning when they're kind of like fooling around, like a little bit silly, like obviously the Cameron Diaz like dancing scene, like all the dancing scenes. I feel like she must have had that in her contract, like ever since Mask she was like, I've got to do a solo dance scene. And like also when the girls are like throwing around Lucy Liu's the muffins that she's made, feels very relatable to me. Whenever my friends are like, did you cook that? I'm like, don't try it.
Oh man, that's so funny. Okay, couple quick questions.
Yeah.
They're quick. What is your all-time favorite film?
I was thinking about that as I saw in the email. Okay, so I would say like right now, I would say Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. I feel like that's such a classic answer for me, starring Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. And because again, like, you know, we have these two girls, like one's like a pretty serious gold digger and the other one's kind of like really out there looking for like a playgirl, shall we say. And I, you know, I like that kind of thing. I think that comes up in my fiction too. And again, like it's one of those like, films where I guess there's a running theme here where like their femininity and their like wiles are used to, you know, outsmart the men around them. And it's funny, and again, like people kind of like misunderstand these kinds of movies, but to me, like I grew up watching these kinds of things, so like I've always been like very like in on the joke. And I think that also because of like just the way that my personality is, it's often kind of like, oh, I understand that people might think like in some ways, like you can be like unserious, but then actually like, I'm like, oh, okay. That's a joke that, you know, you're not in on. I don't know. I guess I can surprise you later, but yeah, I think that, and also like great gowns, great looks and so memorable. And I also love all like the real, like it's one of those musicals that I actually can watch each musical number, which before, like, it's very difficult for me now. Like, even like, you know, I tried watching La La Land for the first time and I was like, no, I can't do this. I've got to go. I was like rewinding. I'm like, wait, so there's another music thing like right after this? No, I can't do this.
Sorry, I hate that movie.
I didn't even watch it. I was like, once it was like, we were doing like this like nighttime stroll, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. And I was like, I can't get involved in this now.
No, terrible. And what's a perfect summer movie?
Okay, I was actually thinking about this and I rewatched this film recently. And I grew up in Toronto, I'm from Toronto, and I just rewatched this film by Sarah Polley, Take This Waltz, which actually it stars Michelle Williams and Seth Rogen randomly, and Luke Kirby. And it like kind of portrays exactly to me what a very specific Toronto summer feels like. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like stickiness, and especially like living in an apartment where you don't really have like air conditioning, and like when you're like cooking over the stove and like your kitchen gets too hot. And it's very beautifully filmed. And you know, I just finished Sarah Polley's book of essays, Run Towards Danger. Oh my God, am I okay? Run Towards the Danger. And it's, you know, yeah, I think that it's like such a love letter to Toronto. And I think that, you know, there's so few films that I think are like truly set here that I, you know, it's like, so it's really a pleasurable watch and perfect summertime.
Marla, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. So fun.
Thanks for listening to Open Forum, a podcast from Lit Hub Radio, produced by Eliza Smith and Justin Alvarez, and hosted by me, Michael Denzel Smith. Feel free to like, comment, and subscribe to Open Forum wherever you get your podcasts, and or sign up for the Lit Hub newsletter to stay up to date on our latest episodes. If you're enjoying what you hear, share Open Forum with a friend or on social media. We're taking a break for a little bit, but while we're away, you can catch up on past episodes featuring Leslie Jameson, Joseph Hahn, Marie-Helene Bertino, Ashley C. Ford, Min Jin Lee, Adam Hazlett, and a number of others.